This episode is brought to you by Pyro Media Network. Before we dive into today's episode, we want to take a moment to address a sensitive topic. Today's discussion may touch on subjects related to mental health, including suicide. We understand that these topics can be distressing for some listeners, so we want to offer a content warning. Listener discretion is advised. If you or someone you know is struggling with thoughts of self-harm or suicide, please seek help immediately. You are not alone, and there are people and resources available to support you. You can dial 988 for your local support and resource line, or 911 if you are in immediate danger. We encourage you to prioritize your well-being, and if you feel uncomfortable with this content, feel free to skip this episode. Your mental health is essential, and we want to ensure that you have the support and resources you need. Now, let's get started with the show.
This is Kim with Coffee with Kim, the podcast, and welcome back to my show. The last time we were together, I had my daughter here, my baby, the end, Zion Imani, and she was with me for the podcast prior to this one. We were talking about our journey to mental wholeness. And I say our because it has been a journey for us all as a family. I know more so for her, but as a family, we think about it, we pray about it, we talk about it, we deal with it, as a family. And so I want to welcome her back to part two. To our journey to mental wholeness, because we are moving towards wholeness, you know. And, you know, there are some things in our lives that, dealing with our mental health that we may always have to deal with. You know, I'm a firm believer in God can deliver you and move things. And, you know, but I also know that God told Paul that my grace is sufficient, you know, and so sometimes God will allow us to deal with the thing because his grace is sufficient for us and that he can grace us through things. And then I'm a firm believer that many of the things that we go through in this life, are most of our testimonies, they are not for us, but they are for others. They are so that others can know that they can make it, that they can get through it. I'm positive that there are listeners out there that never knew what our family was going through. They never knew what our family was going through. And, you know, now they are privy to that, you know, and, you know, just like every family, we are a first family, and my husband's a pastor, for those of you that don't know. And, we've been pastoring and leading a church for over 30 some odd years. And sometimes people don't really understand that pastors' families go through it just like every other family. And sometimes even more, you know, and sometimes there are more expectations put on pastoral families and the children and the husbands and the wives. You're expected to be, you know, to walk in some type of perfection and never have an issue or problem. But that is so far from the truth. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes the enemy fights you even the harder, you know. So I want to get back into this. See, we were talking about, like, we were moving towards, you know, where you are now today, because and I had told you earlier on in the podcast that I was so proud of you, how you've taken, you know, your mental health into your own hands. And I see you. I just want you to know I see you. I see all your effort. I see how you are very, regimented about certain things. Certain things you're like, I can't partake in that because I know my proclivities, And so, and that's why I never try to push you. No, girl, come on, get just one piece of pie. It ain't gonna hurt you. But I know that there are some of us that there are some things that we deal with in our lives that we have to be very regimented about that, very strict about it, because we know that we have, we have that proclivity to fall off the wagon. We fall off the wagon, then hey, then we gotta work extra hard to get back on it. So I want to say I'm proud of you. I see you. I see how amazing, you are and the things that you do, and a little later, maybe you could talk about some of the things you do on social media as well, some of your business and ventures and things that you do. But I just want you to kind of talk about where you are today and some of the things that you have done to get where you are and where you're going.
So I would say from the or for the past like 2 years or so, it has been like the most like intensive part of like my healing journey. Because I feel ready. Like it feels like now's the time for it. Like you can't put a time on healing. But it definitely feels like right now I'm in the place emotionally, mentally, where I can handle certain things. I can handle certain memories. I can handle certain experiences that I try to like, just suffocate. And so yeah, I would say like one thing that really helped me to get on top of things is taking control, like you said, of my mental health, like myself. I had to stop depending on other people to help me, or not even just help me. Other people can help you, but they can't bring you through it. You know, the only person that can really bring you through it is yourself. You know, like you have to be willing to do the work, to do the homework, to do the research. And so, like some of the things that I found have worked for me is definitely like, working out, eating a certain way. You know, like I try not to go off the deep end with my eating. I mostly drink water. Like rarely do I ever drink anything else. As far as my mental goes, like really getting into meditating, learning how to and I want to talk about that a little more. I want to talk about like just especially within the Black community, we kind of have like a stigma on things like that, like meditating, and especially like in religion, we put stigma on like meditating, and we really put a stigma on these things without really realizing like the benefits of it. And like when you break it down, let's remove the monks, let's remove the Buddhists, let's remove all of that. When you really break it down on like a deeper level, like meditating is literally learning how to sit with your thoughts and not get attached to them. You know, you sit there and you let your thoughts come and you let them pass. You don't get too attached to certain thoughts to where you start feeling certain things and now you're in a bad place. You know, you're learning to basically control your mind. You know, regain that power in your mind, like just sitting there and learning to pace yourself, pace your thoughts. And just like other things, like I read a lot of books about just psychology and like neuroscience, and like I'm really diving into it. I've been like a nerd with this stuff lately. And just learning about brain hacking and like learning about the brain, how the brain operates, why am I feeling certain emotions. You know, like I'm a very why person. I like to know why and how things
I
work.
think that's your generation.
Yeah, most definitely. But like I like to understand what is depression on a deeper level, what is anxiety, excuse me, on a deeper level. You know, like it's not just, oh, you're feeling this, so you know, do this to help you feel better. Like, to me, it's like, why does meditating help with anxiety? You know, like, what is it, what chemicals are being regulated in my brain, you know, when I do this practice, like, just on that level. And also, like, one thing that really helps me, that's been helping me a lot, is just sharing, you know, like, I've been on social media, you know, talking about my journey, and also sharing, like, motivational videos, and working on some other projects as well. But, you know, my podcast, just talking about, like, my healing journey, that helps a lot as well, because it's like an outlet for me. You know, it's an outlet for me to express myself and to talk about these things and to get it off of me and not like hold it in, but also a chance for me to like share with other people. Because one thing that I have found is that this stuff, this material that I'm learning right now, you can call it neuroscience or psychology, whatever, is literally saving me.
Wow.
It wasn't until I started watching these videos and learning from these doctors and these neuroscientists and these psychiatrists and, you know, psychotherapists, and hearing them talk about things on like a deeper level, to where I understood like why I'm feeling the way I'm feeling and how I can change it.
And you know, and that is possible for you.
Yeah. It's like, okay, like I'm not stuck with this. It's not a life sentence. Yeah. Like, so therefore, I don't feel like I have to end my life.
Wow.
Because, you know, I don't have to deal with this forever. Yes. There's an alternative. There's a way out, you know? And, yeah, so that's kind of like where I've been at as of late. I've been learning a lot of things, a whole lot of things. One of the main things that's really helping me is understanding that our brain is just a computer. A lot of the thoughts that we have, think of it as like a RAM storage. You know, it's certain things that are backed up into our computer that's been in there for years. Yes. And it takes digging and digging and digging. You know, sometimes you got to get a technical person to come and, you know, delete all of that, you know, out of that RAM storage. You know, you can't just do it yourself. And so you could kind of think of the brain the same way. You know, a lot of our thoughts are literally just neural pathways, and I'll break that down, that have just been like fired and wired, fired and wired, fired and wired over and over again. And like a neural pathway, about to geek out real quick. Flex real quick. But
flex on us.
But basically neural pathway in the brain, every time we experience like a certain emotion, it's our brain releasing or dumping, you know, those chemicals, right? And so also like our thoughts, like our brain is like wired with all these different pathways, and then those pathways lead to certain parts of our bodies that release, you know, our body basically is a whole system and it works together, right?
Absolutely.
And so, for example, someone who believes that they are a low life and they're a loser, and that's a thought that they really have about themselves, and it's instilled in them and it shows, you know, in the way they carry themselves, people may come to them and say, just fake it till you make it, like, you know, just be confident, just be blah 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 blah, not realizing that that just saying that is the surface level of what's really going on with that person. That person, maybe since they were 10 years old, had an experience that caused a certain trigger in their brain and released a certain chemical that released a certain emotion that created a certain thought in your mind, that now I feel like a low life, I'm a loser, I'm weird, I'm an outcast. And so when that is wired so many times, that becomes like one of the main, think of it like a main highway for your brain. You know, certain thoughts are a main highway for us. We have like 70,000 to like 80 something thousand thoughts a day. And some of them are repetitive. Most of our thoughts are repetitive.
Absolutely.
And so after so many experiences and so many times, like certain thoughts become literally like cars on the highway, and it's going down the same highway every single day. And so when you are telling someone like that, just be this, just be that, it's not just that. They literally have to rewire, set, they have to build some new highways in their brain, pretty much. And it's going to take about just as much time depending on how much time you put in and effort, it could take just as much time as it did for that highway to be built in your brain to deconstruct it and build a new one.
And then that might be, that to me sounds like that would be even more pressure, you know,
right,
for a person who's already experiencing that. Yeah. Because now, you know, I'm already struggling with these thoughts. Mm-hmm. So now you want, like you said, you want me to rewire and build a new pathway.
Yeah.
That takes more effort, you know, more time,
right,
you know, more energy. And I may not have any of that
exactly
to give something brand new, you know, when exactly. I'm struggling with this over here already.
Right, exactly. And so that's why, like, it's so important for us to, like, really learn, like, what's happening in our bodies and our brains so we can be in tune with it. Because when I first heard about this way of thinking, this philosophy, and whatever you want to call it, to me, it was kind of just like, what? You know, like, that doesn't, you know, that doesn't make sense. Or, like, you know, so I have to rewire my brain. And, like, how does all of this work? And what does this mean? But slowly over time, I'm starting to see that, you know, I'm starting to see that it works. You know, when you meditate every single every single day. I don't do it every single day. I'm not perfect, but I do it as much as I can. But when you do that every single day, you sit with your thoughts and you let those thoughts of, like, I'm a low life, I'm a loser, I hate myself. And you allow yourself to, at first it's gonna be hard, but you allow yourself to sit with those thoughts and let them pass by. And over time, like, learn to, like, let go of, like, trying to not even trying to control those thoughts, but not attach so much emotion to those thoughts. That's part of rewiring your brain. Because
I think I was going to say, to me, it kind of sounds like, I know, you know, like in psychology, there's a technique called self-talk, you know, where you kind of talk your way through a certain situation.
Yeah.
And I know that, I'll be honest with you, since I had, COVID in 2020, I started dealing with anxiety. Had never dealt with anxiety before ever in my life that I knew of.
Yeah.
But being cooped up in a room for 2 weeks, not being able to have any, you know, relationship with your family, talking to people on the phone, and just being sick, you know, that dealing with your brain, there was a lot of anxiety that I built up. And so there would be times where, I mean, I experienced it. I'll be honest. I experienced, like almost an anxiety attack. I could feel an anxiety attack coming on, about 3 weeks ago. And I was sitting here and I could feel my whole body just start, my heart started racing, you know, my hands started shaking, and I had to stop. I had to, what you call, meditate, you know, and I called it prayer, you know,
right. Yeah,
and
call it.
And then I had to stop. And then once I was done with that, then I had to talk my way through that.
Yeah.
So I had to go, okay, Kim, why? Okay. First of all, why are you feeling this way? And is that rational? Are those rational thoughts? Is that something that's really happening right now? Or is it something that, or if it does happen, what may happen, you know, will the world end?
Yeah.
If that does happen, you know,
exactly.
And so those are some things that, you know, ways that I kind of deal with that. So that's very interesting.
Yeah. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because another thing that I've learned too, that's helped me as well, is like learning not to shame my anxiety. Oftentimes that creates more anxiety because anxiety is just a natural part of being human. You know, anxiety is needed. Like before we had cars and, you know, food markets and stuff, we had to go hunt. And in order to go hunt and to stay alive, you had to have a certain part of your brain that lets you know, hey, you're in danger.
Right.
Don't kill that bear. That bear gonna kill you.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And over time, as like we become, we have a lot more things going on now. Things are a lot more accessible. So therefore, our brains are still adapting to the society that we're in now. And so with that being said, we can become anxious about things that we really don't even need to be anxious
That's
about,
very true.
You know, because it's like, instead of a bear, it's, you know, going into the fish market.
Right.
Now you're feeling anxious about the people around you. Yes. And like, are they looking at me? And are they, you know, it's just your brain's way of like, just trying to keep you safe.
Yeah,
so one thing that helps me in a time like that is to just talk to myself and say, hey, mm-hmm. you know, hey, I appreciate you trying to look out for me and make mm-hmm. sure that I'm good. And I, you know, I stay alive. But I want to let you know that I'm not in danger right now. And yeah. I don't need that from you.
Wow.
So, like, I can, I'm okay. I'm safe.
That's pretty good.
You know?
Yeah. That's pretty good. I'm not so nice to myself.
Hey, it's work. You know, I have my moments too. So
sometimes I'm like, girl.
Yeah.
Can you knock it off?
Right. No, it feels like that. And sometimes it's like that. That's yeah. real. But it's all a journey.
Yeah. But I appreciate that. I yeah. appreciate that information.
Are you ready to take your streaming broadcast, website, or social media visuals up a notch? Pyro Media Productions is here with the perfect solution. From dynamics design and professional headshot shoots to family photo ops, they've got all you need for stunning content creation. Check out pyromediaproductions.com today and add that creative flair. Pyro Media Productions, setting brands ablaze since 2017.
You mentioned something earlier. You said, based on that book that you're reading, what mm-hmm. was the name of the book?
It Didn't Start With You.
Right. And you said you made some connection to your granny.
Yeah.
Kind of unpack that a bit.
Yeah. So pretty much this book I'm reading, It Didn't Start With You, it talks about inherited trauma and how to break those cycles.
Mm-hmm.
And man, this book has been, I'm only a few chapters in and it's already like blowing my mind, because it talks about how trauma can skip generations.
Mm.
It doesn't matter if it's your great grandmother or your great grandfather. Let me try to break it down as best as I can. Like I said, certain behaviors that we have
mm-hmm.
are just simply because of chemicals released mm-hmm. in our brain that cause us to feel things mm-hmm. and feelings cause thoughts and right. thoughts cause actions. Right.
Right.
So, say if you are a angry person, you're mm-hmm. easily angered. That can sometimes stem from, you know, your mother. And you may say like, oh, you're just like your mother, mm-hmm. or you're just like your grandmother, mm-hmm. you're just like your daddy, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But on a deeper level, when you really look into it, when your, say, mother experienced a certain situation that caused anger in her and triggered anger in her,
yes.
that caused a certain imbalance in her brain.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course, brain releases chemicals, mm-hmm. feelings, thoughts, actions. And that became a part of her and who she is and the person that she is and how she reacts to things, right? And so because of that, she gives birth to you, right?
Right.
And so within that, research has found like within like ovaries, within what they call precursor cells, which are cells that like curse,
mm-hmm.
root word of curse is like, you know, pretty much like pass something on to somebody, right?
Right.
Or like put something on someone. So like those precursor cells are within the ovaries or within the sperm.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you are created, like that literally passes down to you and your fetus. And so now you as a child, you can literally receive the same like chemical imbalance mm-hmm. as your mother.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
And, not only that, but also like say your mother experienced trauma while having you, or while
carrying you,
yeah, yes. while carrying you,
yes.
Research shows that like children who are born with who were born under like stressful circumstances,
mm-hmm.
they are often born with I believe it's low cortisol levels, which leads to stress, like high stress.
And you know what? I have to even inject here mm-hmm. that I even experienced that. That I, when I was pregnant with one of my kids, I won't say who, I was under a lot of stress,
mm-hmm.
a lot of like strange things happening in my life,
mm-hmm.
people. And so it was a lot of a trauma that I experienced, emotional trauma that I experienced during that time when I was carrying that particular child. And it definitely affected that child while in utero. I mean, because, you know, there were times where I was depressed. I was very sad. There were times where I was very anxious, very afraid. And so when that child was born, that child experienced some of those behaviors, you know, and it was funny because that child came out and I guess was displaying some of that trauma, some of the behaviors of that trauma, the doctor actually accused me of being on drugs. Because my baby had some of the behaviors of a baby that was born to a drug addict mother. So the shaking and the nervousness, you know, and all of that kind of thing. And they kept that child from me based on what they saw happening with that child. And kept the child from me because they wanted to test me. They wanted to test the child. And I'm thinking, what is going on? But had no idea that it was all, and so there was a nurse that was in the hospital, and she said, you know what? I can see that you're not on drugs, that you have not been on drugs. She said, and I can see that you are, you know, a good person. She said, I'm going to let you come in. She said, because your baby does shake a lot. Your baby is very nervous. She said, she said, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to let you come into the nursery and I'm going to let you feed your baby during feeding time. And she did. And every time I would come into contact with that baby, she did not shake. You know, that baby did not have any of those behaviors that that they were showing, you know, when I was not around. And I would talk to the baby and comfort the baby. And that baby needed to hear my voice, you know, because there is a time of bonding that needs to happen after a woman gives birth to a child, you know, and we didn't get to have that. We didn't get to have that because they you know, they were accusing me of being a drug addict because the baby was shaking, you know. And I did my own research because I was like, what is happening? Why is this happening? And so some of that came up, you know, and then some of the other things that came up were that, like certain wiring that happens in the brain, you know, areas of the brain that are supposed to close up had not closed up. You know, and so, but all of that could have been due to stress as well.
No, seriously, like stress hormones, the same way certain nutrients is passed down to the baby through the placenta, placenta, the same thing with stress hormones. That is passed down the same way to the baby.
So that's very true.
And can literally cause like restraints. Certain parts of that baby's development is being restrained. You know, certain functions that need to happen. That need to happen aren't happening because the body is under so much stress.
And you know what? And it's funny because even now, and I know we just tipped off just a bit. It's okay. But that's why, you know, when I deal with young moms, I deal with pregnant women, I always try to encourage them to do the best they can to be as calm and, you know, get their rest and not, you know, get all caught up in, you know, things and stuff, to let stuff go. You may have to let some people go during this time, but whatever you're experiencing, that baby is going to experience it. That baby is experiencing whatever. If you and the baby's father are fighting each other and cussing and going on, that baby is experiencing all of that, you know. But if you're experiencing peace and, you know, you have a calmness to yourself and you're reading to the baby and doing the things that relax, you're praying and singing and, you know, encouraging that baby while the baby's in utero, then, you know, that baby will have a, sometimes it'll even be a better delivery and all of that. And that was a very stressful delivery when I think back on it.
Yeah.
Everything about the pregnancy and the delivery was all stressful, you know, and so the baby then came out and just displayed some of that, what I had been dealing with, you know, but go back to your resources. And I don't know if you want to talk a little bit more about
I definitely want to get back to Granny. But yeah, so pretty much like just learning all of that stuff, just reading this book, it really revealed a lot of things. It talked about how certain people had grandparents that were part of the Holocaust or certain like traumatic events, 9/11, and how those you know, offspring like have some of the same like reactive experiences, even though they didn't have the same exact experience, but they react to certain situations the same way. And so I thought about it, and I thought about like who in our family can I pinpoint who really had anxiety, you know? And like of course, like Granny, you know, she grew up in a time where she probably didn't even think about anxiety or what anxiety
didn't
was.
Didn't know what that was, right?
Yeah, it just was what it was. And she just told her to stop worrying.
Right. I'm nervous, baby. I'm just so nervous.
She was always nervous about something, you know? And so one of the things I realized was like my grandmother had a very traumatic background.
She did.
You know, she saw a lot of things. She saw her boyfriend get hung.
Yeah.
And, you know, like she experienced a lot of traumatic things that caused her to.
She never said anything until late in her life.
Yeah. Yeah.
To even get that up and out and off of her.
Man, so I can't imagine how much she was holding in and how much that affected her mentally. And so when I thought about that and everything that she's been through, and I thought about myself and how nervous I am, and how anxious I can be sometimes about things that really aren't even a big deal, or things that to the average person, really nothing to stress about. Like my body's automatic reaction is just to go into stress mode or anxiety mode, you know? Yeah. And, you know, I was just thinking about how that all correlates, and I was like, wow, like that makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense.
It makes really sense. Does. Yeah. They say, we only really have about 2% of our DNA, like our genetics, is, you know, like our actual physical makeup, like our hair, nails, stuff like that. The other 98%, they call it junk DNA. It's really not junk DNA. It's our behaviors. It's our personality traits. It's how we are, how we react, you know. And 98% of that DNA, you know, that's important. And a lot of that comes from like our family.
Yeah, it does. You know, I want to thank you. We're going to go ahead and kind of bring it to a close here. But I want you to take just a minute, Z, to just give some words of encouragement, maybe to a listener who is experiencing, you know, some of the things that they heard you talk about, or maybe something different, you know, but just still needs to be encouraged, you know, in some type of way, a young person. And I'll encourage the parent, and then we'll bring it to close.
Okay. Yeah, let's do it. One thing that I really want to say is don't isolate yourself for one. Okay. And don't hold yourself back from getting the healing that you need.
Yeah.
Let go of the shame. Let go of the, you know, feeling like a burden and all that kind of stuff. If you can't afford therapy and others, you know, certain things, medication, whatever, you know, there are certain options out there for you that are free. Yeah. YouTube, you know, like everything I'm learning right now is from YouTube and books.
YouTube University.
YouTube University, exactly. And so, I just want to encourage you to really dive into, really get to know you and really dive into this stuff, because for me, it has been transformative, because now I see a light, I see a way out.
Yeah.
Whereas beforehand, I didn't.
Wow.
And like I was saying before, it felt like a life sentence, which is why I didn't want to be here anymore. Because it felt like if I'm going to be here, why suffer?
Yes.
If I'm going to be here, you know, feeling like this, why should I continue to live?
Yes.
And why should I live for them? And they don't know how I'm feeling. And you know, all those thoughts and those emotions. But when you really start to dive into your healing journey, especially when you grab hold of it for yourself, you start to realize like it's a way out.
There's a way
and
out.
Then over time, you know, you look up and you are 10 steps ahead of where you were before.
Yes.
And you look up again and now you're 20 and now you're 100 and now you,
yes.
And then eventually you're not going to be able to recognize yourself.
Right.
So I would encourage you to do that. And also just understand that everything is temporary. You know, it's temporary and it's not going to be like this forever. So just keep that picture of you and the person that you want to be. Just hold that up every single time you're feeling down and low about yourself. Just hold that up and hold yourself to that person.
Yes.
Hold yourself to it. And keep telling yourself, I'm going to get there. I'm going to be that person.
Right.
I am that person. It's in me. I just have to wake up certain parts of myself.
Wow.
And yeah, that's what I would say.
Okay. Thank you. And I just wanted to add too, you know, I think sometimes people or we can put a period where we should just put a little comma.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to get past that.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to finish this sentence or this paragraph or whatever it is. But we're not going to put a period here because this is not where it ends. I want to say to parents that are out there, moms and dads, if you're listening, don't get overwhelmed with the guilt and the weight. If you're dealing with a child that's dealing with depression and anxiety and a child that has suicidal ideation, you know, don't let your focus be on what did I do, what I didn't do, or you know, focus on, don't even let that, the focus be on, you know, the image of your family, you know, what our family is supposed to look like and, you know, and why isn't our family, you know, no family is perfect. Let's put that out there first and foremost. But, you know, don't get so caught up in making it about you that you're not always really paying attention to what's going on with your child, you know, and making sure that you see your child and making sure your child knows that you see them.
Yeah.
Just like I said that to Zion earlier, I see you. Yeah. I want her to know that I see her. I see her efforts. You know, I see the challenges. You know, I can see the days that she's not feeling so good. And then also being in tune with her, where I know there are some days where she's challenged, I can see it. I may check in real quick, but she may not want me to go deep into it. She may need some space and some time to kind of deal with her own stuff, you know. But yes, so parents, don't get so deep into that. And then also parents, be open to therapy, counseling, whatever it is that you or your family may need. Be open to that and be open to, excuse me, family talks, you know, and be open to dealing with your own stuff, you know, and being open to being willing to say, you know what, I did that and I apologize, you know, and I want you to know that it wasn't you, it was me. You know, I think sometimes we as parents, we get so caught up in trying to be perfect, you know, in front of our kids. And it teaches our kids that we're not human. And so they begin to really see us as, I thought you were this perfect being, you know? So when we don't apologize and when we don't let our kids see our wounds, the places where we were injured and we were hurt, we don't talk about our past experiences with them. You know, we can lose, you know, that communication with them where they don't see us as real human beings, you know? So that's why I try to, you know, talk to my kids and be as real as possible with them. But I just want to say, you know what? Mental health matters. It's very important. It's something that we all deal with. Everyone has depression. It's just that it doesn't, as long as it doesn't get in the way of your daily, you know, dealings, you know, doesn't get in the way of school or work or, you know, your sleep patterns or, you know, who you are as a person. But we all get depressed. We all get sad, you know, but we typically work our way, you know, out of it. But when it starts to affect your overall being, then that's when we need to start looking out and reaching out for help. And help could start with just a good friend. Help could start with a parent that you feel comfortable with. Help could start with a sibling. You know, help could start with your pastor. But just know when it's time for you to take it to another level. Mm-hmm. So we want to say thank you for joining us today. Thank you for joining part two, you know, of our journey to mental wholeness. And of course, Zion will be back. You know, we have a lot of things we could talk about. Okay. But thank you, sweetie. I love you so much. And I appreciate you for taking the time out. And I thank you for being courageous enough to do this because you didn't have to.
Thank
okay.
you, Mom. I love
thank
you.
Thank you. Kisses. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening. You all take care and you stay safe.